Spawn On Me is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bricago, y'all.
Yo, welcome to the Spawn On Me podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. I hope you're all doing well, having a dope day. I hope you're having an amazing afternoon. Hope you're having an amazing week. That is not the number of our episode. We are not on episode 66. We are on episode number 496. Yeah, that's what we doing here, because that's what we do, because we put in the time, the effort, the stuff, all the things that we do. Actually, interestingly enough, let's explain some things actually also fits for this episode, but you know, we'll talk a little bit more about what that means in a much bigger and broader way. But I am very excited to be here with you again, coming to you from Bricago. I got so much stuff just rolling around in my background. I was cleaning up stuff in this room, getting things together, because there's a really cool thing I want to show you all sometime this week, very, very soon. I can't show it to you just yet because it's still under embargo, but it has been a pretty good week for me, you know, doing a lot of work in the industry, getting some things done. I've been doing some work behind the scenes, which has been fun and exciting and awesome to be able to kind of expand my horizons into more things that we are looking to do and more things that I feel are going to be important to do in the future, which is always fantastic and amazing to be able to kind of talk a little bit about those things. But I have to say, I am a little bit sad this week, because as per usual, my New York Jets are straight garbaggio and are terrible. They are awful right now. It is amazing just how bad they are. And it's, I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what we should do about it. And, you know, it winds up being one of those conversations where we lost Aaron Rodgers. All of that stuff went into the drain. You know, the season is basically over now at this point. The season is done. I have no ability to have any kind of hope that we are going to pull out anything reasonable for this season. My good friend, good Dave Hunting, says, what you talking about? Zach Wilson will be a Hall of Famer. LOL. That is the best LOL, because Zach Wilson couldn't throw a 10-yard pass on fourth and 10 this week. He threw a 1-yard pass and expected the guy to run for another 9 yards. That is the dumbest shit on the planet. That makes no sense. For most people who are playing in the league, no, not to do that, because that doesn't make any goddamn sense. No sense at all. But I will say that this week has been fantastic for games. I think for gaming, we are eating very, very well, especially if you are not eating Paris Elite's food. We are doing the damn thing in the video game industry right now, because if you think about all the stuff that is coming down the pipe, things that are playing, things that I'm playing, things that are on preview, things that I haven't even gotten to that are now on my bucket list. I literally have started 4 different games in the past 2 weeks and don't know how to play all of them at the same time, because there's just not enough time. I've been trying to build my character up on 2K. I've been trying to get back into Madden. I've been trying to go back into Armored Core. I have been playing a crap ton of Combat League on Mortal Kombat. I skimmed Lies of P. I played that for like 6 hours and then haven't gone back to it yet because there's just so much stuff. This is the best year of gaming that I have seen in a very long time. Breadth and depth of amazing content and fantastic games. We have just been like feasting right now on all of the things that we could potentially and possibly be able to play. And I have to say, it is wild right now. It is nuts. All the good stuff that's in the mix right now. All the things that are just like popping off. All the things that are just like working in our favor to be able to play so many good things. And now we're back into fighting game tournament season and video game tournament season. Man, we are just like killing it right now in the video game industry, and I think this is a beautiful time to get into the space in all of those things in the ways that you can. If you're new to Spawn On Me, we do our show live on twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. We do our show, our VODs over at youtube.com/SpawnOnMe. So please go check those out. We're doing a really fantastic job, especially over on Spotify. Spotify has been a really interesting and fun place to put our show for video and audio content. Please go check it out on Spotify and give it some love over there. Please rate it, give it some stars, all that good stuff over there, because to be fair, like, we're one of the coolest things about Spotify right now for us is if you look for video game podcast in Spotify, we're literally the first show that gets recommended to you on one of the biggest music platforms on the planet. That is a cool thing to be able to say out loud, and is just a testament to all of you at home for all the dope stuff that you have put into the world for Spawn On Me and for all the work that I get a chance to do alongside all the wonderful folks that we have in our crew. Alongside that, I got some really nice emails and DMs this week from fans of the show, new folks who found me on IGN's Unlocked, new folks who found me on a bunch of different content, and the love that I've been getting from folks who have been watching IGN's Unlocked has been just so sweet and phenomenal and just like nice. People have been so dope about being kind about me being on that platform and really digging the vibe that I bring to that. So I got to give massive love to the fam Ryan McCaffrey for giving me the spot to be able to do that in the interim while Miranda Sanchez is out. And it's just been so good to be rocking with Destin and Stella and all the other folks that we want to bring onto the show, because I really do love that crew. It's a really fun crew to work with. So if you are a fan of IGN, if you're a fan of my work, go check me out on Unlocked too. It's another great space to talk about dope things in the video game space, and it's just been a blast to be able to do. All that said, we have a jam-packed show this week. We're going to be talking about Kick and the criminals on Kick. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the Xbox leaks that popped up over the past week. And we're going to talk a little bit about Phantom Liberty, which I have been playing and rolling through. But the first thing we're going to do before we get into all of that is get into the 411. So, first up on the 411 is that Kick, the Kick streaming platform, has really jumped the shark in terms of its dangerous capabilities, its ability to provide danger to other human beings, and for so many folks within that space, from the top down, to really set a precedent for a place that is kind of vile and kind of gross, and not even kind of vile and kind of gross. It is vile and gross, the stuff that they have been getting away with, have been promoting, and have been sharing across their platform, which if you're not a person who's not in the streaming space, Kick is basically the counterpoint to Twitch. Twitch has been an established streaming platform for over a decade, while Kick Streaming has been in the space for less than a year at this point, or maybe a little bit over a year at this point. And one of the things that has kind of bubbled up from Kick has been, you know, it has been a safe harbor for folks who have decided that they want to be counterculture in the worst ways, for folks who are troublemakers in the biggest ways, for folks who have consistently and throughout their careers put out some really questionable, dangerous, and awful content into the world. Folks like, as you see on the screen right now, Ice Poseidon, other folks have been in that space doing work over there as well. A lot of folks have found a good space over in Kick from the alt-right. And it's been a place where moderation has not been taken care of and has not been cared for in a real way for as many things as they have been able to do from a monetary split perspective, which is the reason why a lot of people have moved over to Kick. It has been an amazingly gross space for some of the folks who have been able to rock on that platform. One of the things that wound up happening very recently was a moment in which streamer of note only because of his infamous dealings, Ice Poseidon hired a gentleman to then hire a sex worker to, I guess, potentially perform some kinds of acts on stream. And what happens, if you're watching the live stream here, and I'll play the audio because I think the audio needs to be played, is they hired this sex worker. The sex worker comes in. There's the gentleman who's there, who's the John, goes up and talks to the woman. They kind of sit down on the couch, start to make out. And she sees a text from someone who says, "Hey, I think this is a setup. There's a camera in the room, a hidden camera, and there are like actual people in the room right now who are waiting for you or in the room doing God knows what, right? You're probably in danger. You should probably leave." What happens there is the John kind of goes to the door. She says, "This is creepy." And he goes, while she's trying to leave, he blocks the door from her being able to leave and tries to stop her from leaving. So what I want to do is I want to play the audio, because I think listening to the audio adds another layer of context to this in a way that I think is important. And then after that, I want to talk a little bit more about the kind of conversations here and all the things that are happening.
Setting you up, by the way, if you leave.
I'll be set up for anything. I'm just gonna make love to you, that's all. And you can get it for him. I'll
explain
everything to you. This is really. This is really. Hey, here you go. Look at the $500. Here's $550, you're free.
This is creepy.
Why is it creepy? It's you, me, and they, and no one else. Hey, can I just have your money back? What? I'm getting that service.
Open the door.
She ran, she was scared.
Because someone was texting out about these and there.
What happened?
Well, someone texted her saying that you two were in there planning something.
So, if you heard the audio there, she gets up. Again, she goes to the door to leave. She has now been alerted that something nefarious is happening. Something bad is happening. She luckily gets out of the room and is not harmed. Because, again, you have now... The setup is one dude being in a room. You're thinking you're alone. You're thinking you're doing what sex workers will do in whatever their job is going to be for the evening. And you get a text that says, "Hey, this is a setup and something might be wrong." Women who are not doing sex work have this fear all the time anyway, of creepiness happening from men in intimate spaces. This is not a thing that is new. It's a thing that has been going on since the dawn of time between women and men. Women have been put in danger for multiple times over the dawn of time. Men are the biggest killers of women across the world and biggest of proponents of danger for women all the time. So to be able to have a sex worker be in a space and then also then give even the idea that danger is happening is wild to have on a streaming platform that supposedly has a term of service. Ice Poseidon, who, if you're not familiar with his air quote work, has been in trouble, arrested multiple times over the past 10 years for everything from doing a lap dance in Thailand in a business that he wasn't supposed to running a Ponzi scheme, a crypto Ponzi scheme, to multiple times of getting swatted because of random beef with other streamers, all this other stuff that has caused him to be persona non grata, be banned from Twitch for multiple years, and then now gets a new place to do that work over on Twitch. Right? So here's the wild stuff. All of that in and of itself is gross. The fact that this person paid to make this content happen is also just weird and wild, right? Also just gross and nuts, right? This person paid somebody, paid the money to go have this sex worker come so that he can have content on his channel on Kick. That's one thing. So we're talking about that part of Kick. The second thing that has happened in that exchange and in that conversation is one of the owners of Kick, Ed Craven, is watching this content, and there's a screenshot on the screen right now, has watched this content live while it was happening, seeing all the things that are going down, and is putting laughing emojis in the chat for people to see while you and everybody who has been on that platform knows that you are the person who is funding this from the parent company, which is Stake, which is a gambling company, online gambling company. To have the CEO of your company see this content here, and for them to engage with this in a way that is not regulatory or in a way that's like, yo, this is content that we don't want. We want to see this banned, as a person who owns this company, and you having a laughing emoji in the chat, is also a weird and telling thing, which is also super weird. Then, if you think about those two pieces that are in the mix, there's already also been some fairly racist comments and commentary that's happened on the Kick platform for a couple different streamers. Biggest streamer on their platform is Aiden Ross currently. Aiden Ross also had a stream very recently that Kick promoted, in which they said, "We live in a simulation." And the people who are on this stream are Aiden Ross, who has moved over to the dark side even more so than when he was on Twitch, and his newest best friend, criminal Andrew Tate, is also on this live stream that Kick streaming on Kick.com has been promoting and sharing. As of right now, of Sunday, September 24th, this post is still up on their social media channels and has not been taken down, with over 90,000 or even more than that, I forget how many people looking at this and understanding that this is a part of the marketing that they are putting here for their streaming channel, their streaming platform, that they are saying is one that you should feel safe on, you should make content on, that you should be a part of their Kick community. And it's been wild to see all of these things happen. That's not the last part. The most mind-boggling part comes from the social channel itself, from whoever's running their socials and whoever's running their PR wrote this on the channel, or wrote this on their Twitter page, X page, X.com, whatever. And this is what they said, reading word for word. "There's incredible untapped potential in what live streaming has to offer. We're firm believers that the greatest days of live streaming are yet to come. With that said, community and public safety cannot be compromised in the process of making content. We're continuously learning where this balance sits and are making changes daily. We appreciate our community for the continuous feedback, both the good and bad, and we'll keep you updated on upcoming changes to community guidelines and subsequent enforcement measures." So here's the thing about that. That makes no fucking sense. And this is the reason why that makes no sense. You have had, as an upstart company, you have had a decade to think about what this has been. If you are a person who came into this space, even in the past 2 years, we'll give Kick the benefit of the doubt and said, Stake Eddie and all the other founders of Kick, Trainwreck, and all those other folks who have been behind the scenes financing this and being a part of this, have not seen all of the different versions of trouble that has happened at your biggest competitor and basically a platform that you have been trying to emulate, and do an alternative version of this so that you can pull in more streamers who are going to be able to kind of, you know, shout your name from the mountaintop and say, hey, you should come over here and be a part of this community because this community is better than that one. And the real thing is, like, the only real big differences between Kick and Twitch is that Twitch has a bigger understanding of how to moderate, even if they don't do it as well as we want them to. And Kick has a better monetization profile right now in terms of what they're trying to do from a you get money faster, the split is different, all of those things are different. Those splits are better over on Kick as they are opposed to Twitch. But if you put out a statement like that, that means that you might have at some point made a decision to make your platform better in ways that actually offset the damages that we've seen in the Twitch community over the past 5 to 7 to 10 years. You have had all of the opportunities to go out of the gate and say, we are doing something different and we are doing something better that's not just about money. But everything that comes out of Stake, and a lot of the folks who are Stake streamers, and a lot of folks who are building on Stake, and a lot of folks who are kind of moving their platforms over to Stake, is it's all about money. If you ask most people, the moderation is still ass. There are still people out there who are doing a lot of Keck W, alt-right, wild stuff over on that platform and getting to rock with no consequences. Are you going to tell me that if someone saw an Andrew Tate stream on Twitch, that thing wouldn't get shut down within minutes, within the hour, at minimum? You wouldn't have the ability to get 50,000 viewers in an Andrew Tate stream, because Twitch has learned over the past decade to do better. Again, they are not perfect. No streaming platform is perfect. But for Stake Eddie, for all the folks who have been the biggest proponents for this site, for all the folks who have been caught saying wild, random, racist things like Johnny Somali and all these other folks who are in there. Thank you, Dr. Jones, for sharing that. All those folks have been able to rock. They've all been able to do whatever they wanted to do on this platform because the platform wants this to happen. The platform is allowing this to happen. There's no way that you can give a person like Ice Poseidon a channel, knowing all the things that he's done over his career, and say, you know what? We're just going to let him do that thing. We're not going to give Aiden Ross one channel, knowing that he's going to pull in a ridiculous amount of people, both adults and kids, and have Andrew Tate on that stream. And on that stream, the whole premise of that stream was to bring Kim Jong-un onto that stream. The U.S. government told him, yo, you need to calm that down. So he got an impersonator to do it. But even that is a thing that Twitch promoted. I mean, not Twitch, Kick promoted. They put that on their page to be able to be like, this is something you should watch on our platform. The bigger conversation here is this. Kick is a place for degenerates. They even have the branding down. They got the lime green X and everything. It is Degeneration K as opposed to Degeneration X from the old WWE. They are trying to be counterculture, but counterculture in the worst ways possible. And it doesn't do anything for anyone involved. The fact that they have pulled some of the most toxic streamers over to their platform and have given them a shit ton of money, Aiden Ross, Trainwreck, XQC, all of those people who are breaking terms of service, who are showing IP copywritten content, all of those things that you cannot do on Twitch are happening on Kick, and it's not going to be a thing that is going to change because all of the owners find it to just be funny, haha, Keck W. So the reason I put the K in Kick is for criminals is because it is. It's because criminals get the chance to rock on that platform in a way that, of course, if you really think about the grand scheme of all of this, Twitch was the incubation process, was the incubator, and now Kick is the place where all those folks get to rock because they've been kicked off of Twitch at this point. all of the folks that you're seeing who were malcontents and terrible human beings who were doing this work all started on Twitch. But Kick has now given them an actual home now. A home where they are getting paid, a home where they are getting a chance to display this to multiple versions of audiences, and a place that is actually doing illegal stuff. That woman, no matter what Ice Poseidon says, which he has now said on his Twitter that he was, because he, the person who basically put up the tweet about all of these things happening, he basically tried to say litigation should happen for this, because he basically, those weren't real, that wasn't a real incident. He's basically said the sex worker had knowledge of all the things that were about to happen here during that clip that I shared and you got a chance to hear. Even if you believe that, what's the content there? We're gonna have simulated sex with a sex worker, and then if it doesn't work out, we're gonna fake like she knew that something was amiss, and then we tried to do something where we were going to block the door so that she was in, so the idea that she was in danger was there. For what? What is that for? That's for clicks. That's for clout. You basically made content that was like, look, we are going to either get sex or danger out of this so that we can get clicks on a site that doesn't give a shit about human beings. That's weird. That's weirdo behavior. That makes no sense. But this is the content that they let rock over there. And people are, you know, jumping in, and I'm sure people are going to jump in my mentions and be like, oh, you know, Kick, I'm not a part of that, and Kick is all this other stuff. Yeah, but you know what? You sure taking that check, though. I don't, like, there are people who I love and respect who are over at Kick right now. I have no beef with them because everybody's trying to make a dollar. I'm not mad at that. Not in the grand scheme. But for all the times that people have said stuff about, oh, well, Twitch is terrible, and the biggest differences between Twitch and all these other places is because of all the money and all the other stuff, and they don't really care about you and all this other stuff. I've not heard some of the biggest names on that platform say a goddamn thing about this. They ain't say nothing. Them joints is mum's the word when it comes to this kind of stuff, which means it winds up falling on a lot of the marginalized folks who are on that side who went over there because they were feeling like they weren't going to be able to get the work done on Twitch. So it winds up then falling on people who are not the ones who are the biggest money makers on that platform to have to defend the ability to find out ways to make good money because they're giving out good bags over there. The question then becomes, how long does this keep going on until something really bad happens? How long does this continue to move until someone steps in from a company? And I love the fam that we had a chance to see on Twitter, Camilla Panda, massive love to her, talk about, so when is AWS going to get into this and snatch up that back end that they're using to promote all this stuff? When is a company who is the tech foundation for this going to step in and look at this and say, oh, well, you're actually just promoting dangerous shit here. Oh, you're promoting stuff that is going to get our, you know, is going to raise a red flag somewhere down the line. And then we're going to have to snatch up all that bandwidth and all of that infrastructure so that you can't do this anymore. We're going to see them. We're going to see the folks from Kick because they have enough money. They're going to do a Glenn Beck and make their own network and do that on their own networking. Probably not. They could do it. They have enough money. But then what does that grouping become? What does that platform become besides the cesspool that it currently is now? It's a lot of stuff to think about, and it's a lot of wild stuff to have to have seen happen in less than 48 hours from the time that this came out, where they still haven't done anything of note besides that really piss poor statement that he put on social media. So it's a really scary time. I was really looking at that video and being like, I hope she's okay. And now hearing that this is supposedly some kind of like work, that makes it even dumber for this to even have happened. I was already mad at the Aiden Ross stuff because I was like, oh, now you're just going to rock with Andrew Tate on the stream and no one's going to pull this down. And now you're going to have a potential sex worker get put in danger because y'all want to have some laughs. This is stupid. This is dumb. This is the dumbification of more of the stuff that we see that's already dumb out here in terms of people making content for clout. It makes no sense. So think about that. You know, I don't know if you want to support Kick. I think it's a terrible system for them to continue to keep moving. And I really do think that someone was going to get hurt at some point. I really do think that someone is going to do something at some moment and they're going to have an incident that they're not going to be able to recover from. And all of those folks at the top, Stake Eddie, all those other folks, they'll go bye-bye instantly. They have a place to already run to. They can go back to Stake and not have to ever think that anything that happened with Kick mattered. Because they're millionaires at this point. Multi-millionaires. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens when that becomes the next thing that we talk about on the show. Is like, someone died over at Kick because of a dumb stream that somebody did. Somebody decided to do something really, really stupid and get themselves hurt in those spaces and all of the things in between. Next story up is all about our friends over at Xbox. So Xbox had a bunch of leaks go out this past week, and I have to say, it is one of the biggest stories of the year in terms of, and probably in the video game industry history, in terms of so many things that got discussed. I think I'm not going to dig into all of them, because if you want to hear my fullest thoughts, go check out what we talked about on IGN's Unlocked most recent episode. There's a lot of conversation over there that I dug into for that. But the pieces that I do want to touch upon that I do think are really interesting and we should discuss are, we had learned a lot about the upcoming layers of hardware that they want to put out, which I think are the kind of the most important pieces of that conversation. There were some about, in some of the deposition that came up from Phil Spencer having conversations with the FTC and all these other things, and emails that were passed back and forth between internal emails and things like that. There was a conversation about Phil Spencer ruminating about buying Nintendo, which people made a really big deal out of, which I don't understand. I think, you know, one of those things that's in that mix is weird, is that people didn't think that Microsoft would be thinking about doing a merger and acquisition for a company like that. Again, no one in their right mind thinks that Nintendo is going to sell out to an American company. That doesn't make any sense. It's not the way Japanese companies work. But if you're in a position that Phil Spencer is in, if you've said over the past couple of years that we're not in a position of power when it comes to our standing in terms of the console rankings of, like he said it out loud, we're in third place. All of these mergers and acquisitions make a ton of sense. They all are not bad moves. They're just things that you have to think about. And again, these are things that you wouldn't hear out loud because these are internal emails. But you would say that stuff to your other coworkers and to other colleagues about, let's look at those numbers and see if that's a viable thing to be able to do. So that was a weird thing that people got, you know, their pants in a twist about for no reason. But the most interesting parts were about the hardware. And I think the hardware stuff was really stuff of note that I think is really nuts. So there were two big conversations. One was the Brooklyn machine, which is an Xbox Series X refresh, which I think we're going to get, you know, the emails and all that stuff were about 2 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago. And lots of conversations have bubbled up about there being a refresh happening in those spaces. I think it makes a ton of sense for what they're trying to do. I don't know if I like the design that much. It looks very circular here. It looks like a more of a sphere as opposed to a box or a cube. But the things that I do want to see here or kind of point at are USB-C in the front, new immersive controller, which I'll show you in a second, more internal storage for 2 terabytes of internal space. You're moving up to 6E Wi-Fi. You're getting some more Bluetooth and advancement in Bluetooth. The die on the CPU goes down to 6 nanometer, which usually helps with not only heat dispersion, but also chips are just getting smaller. And, you know, kind of better for the environment in terms of the power consumption and things there. One of the things that did come up within that conversation is, one, this is an all digital box, which I think I'm actually more in tune for. I think that's fine. I think digital is in there, and GZD forever says the thing in the end is a physical disc. You want it? Here it come. I'm fine with no more physical discs. I've said this in multiple times. I've said this in multiple places. I think I haven't bought a physical disc in over a decade. I don't think people really need physical discs. I understand the conversations about preservation. I understand about DRM. I think all those things are reasonable counterpoints to an all digital machine. I also think that all that stuff is going to go into a landfill at some point, and then after you die, that goes into the planet. Whatever. Digital has its own issues with the environment, and that's reasonable because you're pulling in more electricity, you're pulling in all these other things and all that stuff. But in terms of use, I haven't even looked at my disk drive on my Xbox Series X's or my PlayStation 5's forever. For the past two generations, I haven't looked at a disk in forever unless someone sends me one. And the only time I've done it is to play back movies. That's the only time I've used it. So I think the idea of what physical means is more about the resale value for games. I think about the potential there again for ownership and being like, I own this just in case the servers go down. You can't do anything about that. So I understand those things, but I also feel like those use cases are so few and far between that it doesn't really net out to you needing a disc in a real way. Captain Logan says in the chat, physical tends to grant better cost savings over time compared to waiting for a digital sale. I do think that that's a part of the conversation. I think what most platform holders have gotten wrong is they haven't replicated the Steam sale. Like, that's a thing that they need to do. I think if they figured out how to do that, that would be something that would make a lot more sense. And I think it would be something that would really give the player more ability to kind of do more of that stuff in a way that's smart. But if you notice, that doesn't really happen. It's not a thing that actually goes down in the ways that you expect them to go down. It sucks because they should. They should give you better savings because everything is digital and because you don't have to print a disc for it. And they still haven't done it on console, which I think is really, really weird. Fatal the Baptist says, can you play when the internet goes down? Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, no. Depends on the game and how the game is made. Some games are always online, and those are the ones that have the biggest issues. But most of the times, the functionality in those games is web-dependent. It's internet-dependent. You wouldn't get a good experience if the net was down anyway, if the web was down anyway. So I think that also is like a weird kind of non-issue when it comes to those conversations in that way. The other thing that they showed, which I think I'm really actually excited for, is the new controller. This is a little bit fuzzy because the assets were small. But new controller, direct to cloud, which is a new thing and very, very interesting. New Bluetooth, Xbox Wireless 2, which they haven't talked about yet, because we kind of don't know what that's going on. New mobile app features, paired devices with cloud, managed devices and accessories, different haptic feedback, which means that it feels like, for me, that's a signal that they're doing things more in line with the PlayStation 5 DualSense controller. VSA haptics, again, all of those. Accelerometer, that's also in that spot. Quieter buttons and thumbsticks, they need that because the Elite 2 is kind of loud when you click on things, which is great. The biggest change there for me has been rechargeable and swappable battery that they talked about. That has been a pain point for a lot of folks in the Xbox camp for a long time. Them not having rechargeable batteries is a weird problematic thing, and you need to get third-party accessories for a lot of that stuff most of the time, and it kind of sucks for that to be a thing. Repair and disassembly, we have talked about that in previous shows, where Xbox is now giving you more options to actually fix your controllers with real pieces and parts for some of those things. New modular thumbsticks, that's going to be a little bit of a change there. Lift to wake, it's decent and reasonable. And there will be different additions and options there for the controller. It looks like a black and white cookie if you're looking at the stream or looking at the VOD. It's like top is white and the bottom is black. We'll see. I think those things are going to be really interesting in the ways that those kind of come to the conversation and what we're trying to do. But I also feel like I'm really excited for those things because, again, the like cloud functionality stuff means that they are thinking about a more cloud-based future where it kind of feels like they're doing some of the stuff that Stadia wanted to do with their controllers, but they're putting that directly in an Xbox platform with a more digital-based ecosystem and hardware platform. All of those pieces will be really interesting to see where they kind of land and what they're going to do with the functionality that's going to be within that controller so that you have this kind of hybrid experience between playing on the hardware and then doing stuff on the box and in a cloud. It'll be really cool to be like, oh, I can do this one thing, take that cloud save somewhere else and go somewhere else with it. But there has to be some cloud functionality that talks directly to the controller that makes that experience even smarter, which I think is going to be really dope to be able to see what they're going to do with that in the future. There are a whole bunch of other leaks and other pieces of conversation that's in that mix for the Xbox stuff. I mean, they talked a lot about the lineage and kind of the thought process of the new hardware that they want to do. They, you know, in the specs, again, these are conversations from 3 years ago. Something about a potential mobile controller. You know, there even were talks about this new console that we saw in the refresh potentially being in Xbox Design Lab. So you might be able to get even colored versions of those consoles potentially, if that's still in the cards. I would really like that because that would be a dope thing to do, because especially if you don't have the skins or the you know, the kind of like the Starfield wraps and things like that, being able to color code and have a colorway for your actual console if it's smaller too will be really cool to be able to see. So I'm hyped for that kind of stuff. Like, I think as much as people were looking at that info and were like, oh no, Xbox told all of their business and they really don't have anything to show in the upcoming years, again, that information is old. Even if they have kind of shown their hand, it's stuff that we already kind of knew through other rumors anyway. And it actually gives me more excitement for the kind of future of Xbox if they're moving into this more digital space. That tells me that all of the pieces of the conversation that they had been talking about from before really do make a ton of sense. The move away from consoles and more towards ecosystem does nothing but make me more excited for what I'm able to play and where I'll be able to play all of that stuff. If you're going to give me an Xbox Series, whatever it's going to be, the digital cloud version of it, and you basically give me a link to something that's happening in the cloud like GeForce Now, where GeForce Now is basically running 4080s and 4090 GPUs in the cloud, and you're saying I can offset that computational graphical load in the cloud, and if my connection is fast enough, still be able to use that for my system, we get a ton of stuff out of that you didn't get in the previous generation. So there's a lot of good in all of this conversation, but it really depends on how's the infrastructure in the places that you're in. Do you have the high enough bandwidth to be able to do that work? And it does bring up the conversation a lot of folks in our chat has talked about tonight. It's like, what happens when the internet goes down? How much of your gaming experience is tied to that? How much of it is cut off once you have a bad experience online? So there's a lot of dope stuff within that conversation. There's a lot of really interesting pieces and layers to all of what's happening in the future of that. So I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be cool, and I'm excited to see what Xbox does moving down the line with more of the goodies that are in that space going into the next couple of years. Because we know one of the other big parts of the conversation there was Xbox thinking about the next gen of their hardware coming in 2028, which, again, makes nothing but sense in terms of the way that this generation has moved and the amount of time that we've seen things transpire in. So we're going to take a quick 3-minute break. I'm going to grab some water. I'm going to show you some merch, and then we're going to let you see our Be Right Back screen if you're watching here on twitch.tv/spawnonme. And everybody who is listening in audio form, we got some more goodies for you over there too. All right, we'll be back in a minute. See you in a few. Hey everybody, Khalif here from the Spawn on Me podcast. Hey, we have been in the market for new PCs for a long time, and for our 10th year anniversary, the wonderful folks from NZXT have partnered with us in a collab to be our hardware sponsors. So if you are looking for a new PC to stream or to game in the best way possible, go check out nzxt.co/spawnonmebld and you'll be able to find a perfect PC for you, whether that be the Player 1 machine, Player 2 machine, or Player 3 machines, the ones that we're rocking for our new studio build. They have everything you possibly could need for the best PC experience on the planet. Remember to go check out nzxt.co/spawnonmebld and it will get you set up right. Much love and peace. Welcome back to Spawn on Me. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. Hope you had a wonderful break. We just took a double 3-minute pause in the cause because we needed to get some water and, you know, do all that and things and make sure that we was hydrating. If you missed the beginning of our show, you missed a fantastic conversation about a ton of awesome discussions about Kick and all the other things that are going on over on that platform right now. It's a lot of wild stuff over there that's going down, and you know, we got to talk about all the goodness that's happening in those spaces. So I have been playing through Phantom Liberty, Cyberpunk 2077's latest DLC, and I have to say that game is a monster. It is exactly what I was hoping for from the beginning of what we were getting with that game. It is one of the things that I was hoping for in a much bigger way when we were talking about the kind of future of what Cyberpunk is going to be doing. And it is just something in which, you know, games like this don't come along that often. So getting a chance to see something like this in this way and be able to play it is just like so dope. I had a chance to dig through this for a bit and have been having nothing but a blast with each and every part of it. The ray tracing stuff that's happening on the NVIDIA side with ray tracing overload as the RT overloaded mode that you can put in the game, where everything is just pop in and I'm getting like ridiculous frames per second in there. I'm scrubbing through the video, nothing stuttering. I'm just scrubbing through it, looking through pieces of stuff for you to be able to kind of look at. But I have to say, this is one of those games that, you know, all the conversations around 2077 have been not great for a long period of time. I think it's been something where that game has been lackluster for a lot of the time that it was out. It was not a game that was doing well in terms of overall sentiment because of the way that it launched. It launched in a way that was, not really complete. And getting a chance to now see this iteration of the game, I have to say, it's overdrive mode. I keep saying that wrong. Ray tracing overdrive mode, sorry. But getting a chance to see this newest iteration of the game, from a technical perspective, this game is brilliant. The thing that really surprised me about this, and I got a chance to preview this at Summer Games Fest earlier in the year, was the way that they're telling stories in Phantom Liberty is actually pretty, pretty dope. Again, you are this protagonist, and you're coming back as V, and V has now found themselves into this new layer of espionage that is being helped by your co-partner in this DLC, which is Idris Elba's character. And the uncanny valley conversations about, like, we've gotten to a place where video games just look as good as real people. I have to say, CD Projekt Red did a dope job. They did a bang up job in terms of modeling Idris and scanning him and getting him into the game and all those kinds of things. But it feels like the perfect game for him. There are very few games, and we've seen this conversation happen over the past couple of different versions of other games, like Mortal Kombat 11 with Ronda Rousey, or Mortal Kombat 1 with why can't I think of her name right now? Megan Fox. And having not great performances within those games, Idris Elba kills this. Like, it feels like if they were to do a cyberpunk movie and he was the star, it would be fire. Like, if they did, oh man, like a new Blade Runner and Idris Elba was the main protagonist in that game, I mean, in that movie, yo, that joint would be fire if that was the case. Like, that thing would be, like, on some no BS, pretty monumental, because the way he's acting in this game and the story that's been written has been very, very good. I'm almost finished with it. I'm still rolling through it. I'm still trying to get to the end of it. But everything that we had wanted from a Cyberpunk 2077 game is kind of coming to fruition. The other part of that that has been really important has been the updated 2.0 system in terms of your perks. They really have streamlined this process into a way that feels really smartly done. It's really kind of like made all of the ideas around what you put into your cyberware and what you put into your perks and how you then play the game after that really do feel like they have come together in a really cohesive way that makes it feel like they took all the feedback that we've had over the years and have said, we're going to throw all that in here and we're going to give it that level of polish that this game deserves and that this DLC deserves and that our fans deserve. I am, like, above and beyond happy and excited about what I get a chance to play in Phantom Liberty now. And I really do think, you know, it's coming out in a couple of days. I think for everybody else who's out there and have been waiting for this, if you have been a person who kind of gave up on Cyberpunk 2077, you were like, well, it didn't really hit when I wanted it to hit, and I don't know if I'm going to go back and X, Y, and Z, I would say go back. Like, if you have the gear to run it, because this is like, I was running it on a 3080 and it was okay. I then threw it in a machine that I have that has a 4090 in it, and that thing is like butter. Like, I went from, because I put all the ray tracing up. I put my ray tracing up on high, all my settings on ultra, and I was getting like 40 to 50 something frames per second. I put that in a 4090, and I was getting at least 130 frames per second or something to that effect. I ran the benchmark, and the benchmark basically was like, oh, you got no problems running this. You can do that whenever you want. Let me look at it, actually. My average frames per second on a 4090 machine with a i9-13900K processor, 13th gen Intel processor, was average 143 frames per second. What? What? That's on full. Let me see what was on. DLSS was enabled. It was on quality. And I didn't even have like some of the other bells and whistles on. Ray tracing was enabled, ray tracing reflections, all the other stuff was in there. Patch tracing wasn't on, but it was like they didn't put that on the thing. Like, they didn't put it in the benchmark. But even when I put it on the benchmark, I'm still getting like 120. So that was the average frames. The max frames were 202. The min was 69. Man, listen. NVIDIA, we need to do some work together. We stopped doing work together. NVIDIA, we stopped doing work together. Why? We should do more stuff together. NVIDIA people, if you're listening to the show, we should do more stuff. Because that's unreasonable. Anywho, I think this is a game to jump back into. I know there's a wild, you know, pile of stuff at this point to be able to go look through, and a lot of games are out. But I think if you, again, if you have the gear to run Phantom Liberty at the highest and sexiest, you are in for a visual delight. Everything from reflections and the way neon bounces and light bounces and the way characters look and the way the sun looks. And you get that really nice bloom when you go from an outside to inside. All those kinds of things that we've known and loved and have wanted from a video game to kind of like really do that work well. Like, mad kudos to CD Projekt Red for bringing this game back from a not great start. Like, the DLC was good, and I never really had a big problem with the actual game itself, but like, it was the graphical stuff that was in the mix that was not really like doing what it needed to do. It wasn't optimized well. This feels very, very, very well optimized in terms of what they're doing. So go get that joint. Go play that joint. We'll be talking more about that in future episodes once I have a chance to finish it and all that good stuff. Before we get up out of here, though, I do want to talk a little bit about my journey with MK. I've been having a ton of fun with MK. Mortal Kombat, that is, for folks who don't know. I'm going to play a little bit more of that on the stream very, very soon. It may just be from the console itself because this monitor, although beautiful and lovely, does not really give me the responsiveness that I want it to have while I'm playing fighting games. So I'll maybe be streaming directly from my console for that, or to play some MK on stream. And Liza P will have some thoughts about that very, very soon. Midweek next, this week, I'll be talking about a new device that has come into my life that I'm very excited for. And if you are a driving fan, you will want to hear about this because this is one of the coolest things that I've seen from one of our friends and tech partners in this space. Massive love to our friends from NZXT as well for continuing to sponsor the streams and all that goodness there. GZD says, do you have a list of guests for episode 500? 500? No, I don't. We're four episodes away from 500. I'm still trying to find some folks to come on and celebrate 500 with us. I'm looking for some testimonials and stuff. I'm going to be poking people to see if they can send us some nice videos and things like that. And maybe pulling some snippets of some old episodes to kind of talk about the kind of, you know, 10 years that we've been doing this work. It's wild to see that we've been doing this show for now a decade, which is nuts. But yeah, I'm working on that. I'm trying to find some dope folks to come onto the show and talk about it. Folks have been traveling, and a lot of folks who I've been wanting to get have been busy. So we'll see. We might be able to get something done in the meanwhile. But until then, thank you so much for listening to the show this week and every week. Thank you so much for giving us some love in them streets. Go check me out on IGN. Go give the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And yeah, we have some fun stuff. Fatal the Baptist says, I need to win one of those gaming rig giveaways. Stay tuned. I got some stuff for you. But everybody else at home, make sure you're checking out the work. Spotify is great. All the other places are great. And also, towards the end of the month, We have some other stuff to talk about. There's a new something in the air that's going to be happening for Spawn on Me that I'm actually very, very excited about. It'll expand the Spawn on Me universe, and it'll give me a chance to play around in some spaces that I haven't had a chance to play around with for a bit. So keep your eyes and ears locked for that stuff as well. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your week. Check me out at Khalif Adams on X/Twitter. It's Khalif on Instagram and Spawn on Me and all those other places. We have more dope stuff coming towards the middle and end of this week because we're doing this on Sunday. All right, y'all. I'll see you on a bit. Enjoy the tunes here if you're on Twitch. If you're not, Bumbaros.